The scripture reading for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 12 to chapter 4 verse 2. It is found on your pew Bible page 1005. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it, while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we condemn ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Sometimes the topic of change comes up too much. We talk about it constantly. For those of us who are in our 50s or maybe older, we have seen a lot of it. And some of it we're not particularly impressed with. But nevertheless, we have to find ourselves talking about it once in a while, because Paul talks about it. In the reading that Joey just shared, he talks about us being transformed, to be conformed. Now, those are words that imply change. Those are words that suggest that we're on a journey from one place and one way of being to another place and another way of being. Transformation, conform. Now, conformity is not necessarily the best thing, but to be conformed may well be a good thing if it is to what is true and what is valuable. How do we figure out what is true and valuable? We figure it out by finding that which is reliable even in the most difficult circumstances. For us as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, I apologize. I don't want to exclude you. It's true for you too. I just don't want to claim it for you on my own authority, but that you would claim it for yourself. For us as Christians, we find truth and we find reliability in God the Father and God's Son, Jesus, and in the Spirit. And so Paul, as he is telling his Corinthian comrades what God has done for them and what God has shown them, and while he encourages them to be transformed and conformed to Jesus and his likeness, we find ourselves also drawn. Paul is encouraging them to move to a greater truthful good, as he encourages us to do the same. There are some changes that are worth making. There are some that are not. Being transformed and conformed in Christ is one of those worth making. And that's what God is doing here, transforming. Now, how are you transformed and how are you conformed? Well, that's a whole nother story. Because while we think and believe and probably know that God could just snap God's fingers, metaphorically anyway, and make us what we should be, that does not seem to be the way that God is working out our change in us. God is not snapping fingers and magically turning us into the people that we ought to have been from the very beginning. Rather, God is helping us and empowering us to participate freely in the change that He would have us make. Indeed, God empowers us to participate by being willing, by being able, and by trusting in God to become the people that we want to be. As church people, we talk about that in terms of our worship, our prayer, our service, our study. But we do it in other ways as well. One of the ways that we support transformation and conformity to an ideal is through scouting in all of its forms. If you go online, you'll see that it's not just Boy Scouts, it's not just Girl Scouts, but it's Campfire and 4-H and guides all across the world. In its many forms, there's this thing called scouting, where people are involved in the lives of young people, young men and women, instilling in them the habits and the faith and the ideals and the character that makes positive change possible. Not only in their lives, but in the lives of their community and in the world. When we read the Scout Law earlier, we talked about those things: to be trustworthy, to be loyal, to be helpful, to be courteous, to be friendly, to be kind, to be obedient, to be cheerful, thrifty and brave, clean, and finally, reverent. These characteristics ennoble any human being, Christian or otherwise. These are the kind of characteristics that we would delight to see in any young person. And as an aside, we would delight to see in adults as well. So often we look at these young people and say to them that we're trying to help you grow and change and be grounded in the Scout Law. And when we celebrate Scout Sunday, we're in danger of looking at what scouting does and the effectiveness of our own troop and our own pack, and look at the Scout Law and say, my, what a high calling that is. My, what a wonderful journey we have to become like that, to become trustworthy, loyal, all the between, and clean and reverent. But the truth is, folks, that the Scout Law is not what we want anybody to grow into be only. It is not the end. It is not the ideal. No, the scout law, the very minimum it is a minimum. We want to be that because in order to do anything positive in this world, in our lives, in our community, one must first be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, courteous, friendly, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And if we don't like the change that we see in this world, it is because it has been led by people and processes that are not any of those things. When we are working with scouts, we're not just about a good youth program. We're saying, without any equivocation, that we believe God is working in our world to transform people, to change people, and conform them to the Christ-like ideal. And that one of the ways that happens is by starting with a strong foundation that is encased in the Scout Law. I'm so proud of what our troop does, and I'm proud of you for supporting it. I would ask that you would strengthen by your own witness, by your own prayers, your commitment to the Scout Law. For even though we may not have been scouts, we still are called to those standards. Wonder what a world would look like where this was the minimum and not the best we could do. I dare say, if we change that way, we will like what we see. It is God who will power this. It is our willingness, our faith, and our commitment that will assist God's power in making this change so that we may all be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, courteous, friendly, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Let us pray. O Lord, as we model for our young men the Scout Law, help us to be mindful of its content, that when we are tempted to be unreliable, faithless, ill-mannered, or any of the other things that could draw us from being your people, help us to remember these characteristics. Help them be so ingrained in our hearts and mind that they become second nature. And that being so put into our hearts and minds, they become a strong foundation for the kind of leadership and change the world so desperately needs. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.